Salt.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. This might be one of those shows that you don't want to watch. That's right. This is not going to be one where I'm going to do a bunch of snorting and snarling and all that kind of stuff. This is going to be quite a show. So if you have a little bit of courage, it's going to be a little bit of out of the box thinking. See, I'm convinced of this. We are everything that they do it in the world. Look into the world now. Everything that the other side, whoever that other side is, everything that other side doesn't agree with, what do they call? Why, they call that a conspiracy theory. If they don't agree with it, it's a conspiracy theory. If you happen to question 9-1-1 and the events of 9-1-1, why, you're a conspiracy theorist. If you would happen to question who killed JFK, why, you're a conspiracy theorist. If you would happen to question exactly what happened in Benghazi, why, you're a conspiracy. I don't know if you know this or not, the idea of conspiracy theory was invented by the CIA right after the Kennedy assassination. Because conspiracy, the word conspire, spire means to breathe, con means together, conspire means simply to get together. We're conspiring here every day. When we come in here, the Lord's anointed, we conspire. We get together, we talk, we plan, we get an idea of what's going on. And a theory is nothing more than an idea. So do you know that creation is a theory? Do you know that evolution is a theory? If I were to question evolution, am I a conspiracy theorist? I don't think so. No? If I were to question whether or not there is a God, when's the last time you heard an atheist called a conspiracy theorist? When's the last time you heard a homosexual who said he was born that way? When's the last time you've heard him called a conspiracy theorist? No, folks. The idea of a conspiracy theorist, I'm picking at something over here on my computer. The idea of a conspiracy theory seems to me only to pop its head up when it has to do with the righteous speaking up. Then it becomes a conspiracy theory. Anytime we want to get to the truth, why, it's a conspiracy. Y'all with me today? And can I tell you this? It's just as bad in the church. Just as bad in the church. If you bring anything to the table that it is not bona fide, clearly spelled out, verse by verse, in the Bible, it's conspiracy theory. If you would happen to say to somebody, golly, in the beginning, God created the bohu and tohu. Remember we talked about that last week? So, wow, bohu and tohu replenished the earth. Remember all that stuff? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was void and without form. How could something just created be void and without form? And if you bring that up, you're a conspiracy theorist, a religious conspiracy theorist. You believe in speaking in tongues. Why, you're a religious conspiracy theorist. You don't believe in the rapture. Why, you're a conspiracy theorist. You get the way the game's played. Somebody tried to come in. Come on in. Maybe not. Somebody tried to come in. And so. Okay, I'm sorry. So,
Coach,
go ahead, Vic.
You know, John Bowne from InfoWars a couple of days ago, he had
That's a conspiracy. That's a conspiracy broadcast right there. Go ahead. Yeah.
So he made a comment about how the beginnings of Facebook started in 2004 when InQtel, which he was InQtel is a shop all for the CIA. They're a DARPA contractor. And they had something going on. It's either Log Life or Life Log. This was a project that was very elaborate in mapping and piecing how people in their relationships were. And they had it all pieced together.
Don't bring those conspiracy theories here. Artificial intelligence, that's a conspiracy theory. Don't come on. Just preach the Bible. The Bible says it. I believe it. That settles it. Yeah, but the Bible also said knowledge will increase. What? Yeah. We're going to learn more and more and more. Yeah, we're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. So I'm going, if you don't like conspiracy theories, how about this? If you don't like truth theories, then today's show is not for you. Okay? Now, as I dive into this, this is going to be fun. Because remember, tomorrow is the first day of spring. What a full moon we have tonight, huh? It's not daylight yet. So tomorrow I'm going to go to the Newark Earthworks and I'm going to do my show live from the Newark Earthworks tomorrow with Russ Dizdar. It's dark here today, still dark at whatever time it is. And it says, according to my, this is going to be perfect because it says, according to my phone right here, bear with me a second, folks, that the sunrise tomorrow morning, let's find out. Hey, Siri, what time does the sun rise in Newark, Ohio tomorrow? 7:32 tomorrow. So we'll be right in the middle of our show. And Russ Dizdar is going to come on with us, and he's going to explain what's happening at the Newark, Ohio Earthworks, where I'm going to be tomorrow, broadcasting live from it. So I'm going to try to lay a foundation today so that many of the things that you hear tomorrow from Russ aren't brand new and fresh. Okay, I want to try to lay a little bit of a foundation. I rarely do this. I got to tell you, I had the most unbelievable thing happen to me yesterday. This is so cool. I've been having our little grandson and granddaughter live up the hill. They've been coming down. They come down all the time. But in the last week, I've been sitting them down every time. Every morning they come down, I lay my hands on them and pray, and I speak into their lives. Little David is, I think he's 3. I don't remember how old they are. Okay. And Reese is 8, I think. And all they get to the point where they love it, man. They come in, they sit down, and I speak. You know, I just speak into their lives. And I got done doing that with little Davey yesterday. And when he got done, you know what he said? Yeah, this is, folks, this is mic drop, man. This is a mic drop. Because a lot of times when we're sitting around, we're doing our dinner, as many of you do, and you got your grandchildren there. Sometimes we'll say, who would like to pray? And if we got all 6 of the grandkids there, sometimes one of the little ones will, you know, they'll pray, but you can't. You don't even know what to say. They get down, you say, amen. But teaching them a pattern of prayer, and that, you know, that's all good. So yesterday when I got done laying my hands on little David, little 3-year-old David, and I speak into his life, man. I'm a man of God, and places he's going to go, and the doors of the Lord's going to open. And so David says, Grampy, can I pray for you? So I took the seat, and he walked around behind me. I wish I'd have filmed. I wish he walked behind me, and he put his hands on my back of my head, and he's, you gotta listen to this, because here's what it sounded like. And the Lord will open doors, and you will walk through them. And as I get goosebumps right now. That out of the mouth of that little man.
Amen.
He said, you will open doors, and the Lord will open doors, and you will walk.
Amen.
Is that unbelievable, boys and girls? Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings has God ordained praise. Now, I could laugh it off. He couldn't, I'm telling you, on his own, he could not have put that thought together. I wish I'd have taped it. The Lord shall open doors and you shall walk through them. Because, see, that's the way I pray prophetically over him. You understand that? But I had never prayed that before. I'd never prayed that the Lord was going to open doors and somebody was going to, I'd never prayed that before. And out of that little guy's spirit, that came up. Wow. You know why? Because he knows I will. He knows the Lord will open the doors and he knows that I will walk through them. All right. Cool. Oh my goodness. Isn't that unbelievable? Okay. So here's where I want to go today. And I haven't done a good opening today talking about I just want to say this about the Occupy conference. Hotel rooms are going to go up. If you don't get your hotel room, it's going to cost you $30 more here in about 10 days. Right. And if that's it, I'm not going to keep twisting your arm to get in and save yourself some money. That's just the reality of it. Now I'm looking over here I was looking for something on my thing. So, well, okay. So what were you saying, Coach? I'm saying this is going to be, this divides the sheep and the goats sometimes. Because people don't like going where I go. Okay? Y'all with me? Y'all going to be my friend when this whole thing's over? Because I believe that we as Christians should be the most informed people on the planet. And if I bring information and I lay it down on the table, you don't have to believe it. Okay? You don't have to believe it. But shame on you if you live in a church. I'm sorry. You go to a church. You worship in a church. And you have never heard a thing about giants. Shame on you. Why? Because the world's talking about it. They're talking about it. And you go huddle in your little church. And somebody comes in and say, hey, have you ever heard anything about Genesis 6 and the giants? And they say, oh, can anybody tell me the response? I'm ready. Give me the response, Christians. What do they say? I'm listening.
I ain't never heard it.
It's not important.
That's a conspiracy theory. The exact same thing the world uses. Exact same thing the world uses. Well, I don't know where to start. Go Genesis 6, Jared, because Hey, folks, you believe what you want to believe. I don't care what you believe. You go to your church and you let that 6-foot icicle tell you the same stuff he's been telling you for 30 years. As the world continues to change and we can't figure out what's going on, artificial intelligence and 5G and all this unbelievable stuff, the mixing of bloods and chimeras and everything around us we see being altered, the natural course of things being altered everywhere we look. And is it possible that one of the reasons it's being altered is right in front of us in our Bibles and we've never been taught about it? Oh, good Lord.
They teach that it's the line of Seth, the line of Cain, bunch of garbage right from the cemetery, whatever you want to call it.
Well, yes. So when we're done here, you don't have to agree. I'm trying to lay a groundwork for tomorrow when I step on that Hell's Kitchen tomorrow and Russ Dizdar is explaining to us about where I'm stepping. You're going to have a little bit of background. Okay, that's all I'm trying to do. Okay, Russ is gracious enough to come in here. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and the daughters were born unto them that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair. Who saw that? The sons of God. Now, who are the sons of God? Now, I could go right here on my, I'm not going to take time to do it. I'm just going to let you do a little bit of research on your own. You go to your own concordance. You go to your own concordance and you see what they say. Okay? The sons of daughters, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now, verse 4, just out of nowhere, this pops up in verse 4. Call it a conspiracy theory. If it is, it's Moses who brought it up. There were giants in the earth in those days. Hey, boys, was he talking about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? What are they talking about? There were giants in, hey, doubters, I'm reading the scriptures. The Bible, God said it. The Bible says it. Whatever it is. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. There were giants in the earth in those days and also after that. when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them. And the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And after that happened, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and it ticked the God off. He said, man, I'm about to do about something about this. You with me? I'm not going to go any further than that. You figure that out. You go ask your pastor what that means, and I don't even know what he's going to. I don't even know. He'll tell you it's a conspiracy theory, or he'll say this one. We don't understand that. We don't really understand what that meant.
Hey, Coach, if I can chime in, the conspiracy theory, then you're saying that God is a conspiracist, because Moses was scribe for God in the early chapters of Genesis, because Moses wasn't there. So all he was doing is scribing what the Lord was telling him to pen down. That's all Moses was at the beginning. Everything that Moses was writing in Genesis 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, that was the oracle of God speaking to Moses.
That's right. That's right. So God's lying then. God's the conspiracy theorist, right? You with me, fellas?
Yep.
Go ahead, Vic. You want to say something?
Yeah. In the Strong's definition, it gives it a number of 5307 for giant. So in some kind of parentheses, it says properly feller is, and then it says bully or tyrant, giant. And then in Brown Driver Briggs' definition, it says giants and the Nephilim.
All right. I don't know what says in Strong's. I don't get bogged down on it. You do your own research, okay? I don't even care. Jared, click on Enoch, because I want to show you this. I'm going someplace because I'm going to take you someplace tomorrow, and I want you to have a different perspective on it, a different understanding of where I'm going tomorrow, okay? Now, you don't have to believe the Book of Enoch, which is part of the Dead Sea Scrolls. They found it in part of the Apocrypha, I believe. I'm not technically up on it. But then chapter 15 of Enoch. Hey, I know your pastor's going to tell you I'm crazy. I know that. I'm just reading. Don't you think Christians ought to have an answer for this? Other than God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Then addressing me, this is Enoch, he spoke and said, "Hear, neither be afraid, O righteous Enoch, thou scribe of righteousness, approach hither and hear my voice. Go, say to the watchers of heaven who have sent thee to pray for them." You ought to pray for men, not men for you. "Wherefore have you forsaken the lofty and holy heaven, which endures forever, and have lain with women, have defiled yourself with the daughters of men, have taken to yourselves wives, have acted like the sons of the earth, and have begotten an impious offspring? You, being spiritual, holy, and possessing a life which is eternal, have polluted yourselves with women, have begotten in carnal blood, have lusted in the blood of men, and have done as those who are flesh and blood do. These, however, die and perish. Therefore have I given to them wives, that they might cohabit with them, that sons might be born of them, and that they might be transacted upon the earth. But from the beginning were made spiritual, possessing a life which is eternal, and not subject to death forever." He's talking about the giants. "Therefore, I made not wise for you, because being spiritual, your dwelling's in heaven. Now the giants who have been born of spirit and of flesh shall be called upon earth evil spirits, and all earth shall be their habitation. Evil spirits shall proceed from their flesh, because they were created from above, from the holy. Watchers was their beginning and primary foundation. Evil spirits shall they be upon the earth, and the spirits of the wicked shall they be. The habitation of the spirits of heaven shall be in heaven. On earth shall be the habitation of terrestrial spirits who are born on earth. The spirits of the giants shall be like clouds, which shall oppress, corrupt, fall, contend, and bruise upon earth. They shall cause lamentation. No food shall they eat, and they shall be thirsty. They shall be concealed and shall not rise up against the sons of men and against women. For they come forth during the days of slaughter and destruction." Okay. Now, I don't believe Enoch. Okay, I don't care if you believe it or not. I'm saying let's always be ready to give an answer for the hope that was in it. Let me pause right there before I continue. Anybody got anything to add so far?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Over there by Goliath in 1 Samuel. You know, if you think about the setting there, here you've got a guy, the Bible says he's 9'9". It could be up to 12, 13 feet tall, depending on the height of the cubit there, the measurement of cubit, because that cubit can be 18 inches or 24 inches. But anyway, if you sit there, Coach, you know that the Israeli army had perfect archers. They could have shot that sucker with an arrow from long distance away. It wasn't that made them scared. That rascal probably ran out there and grabbed a big, huge oak tree and ripped it out of the ground and was playing with it. This guy was supernatural, Coach. He was a supernatural being. That's why they were afraid of him.
And Alan, yes, but they weren't shocked because they'd experienced with him before.
Exactly. Yeah, they wasn't shocked back in that day because they were roaming the earth.
That's right. That's right. Okay. This is a historical found. Do some research on your own. Anybody else got anything? Because I want to show you. I'm going to show you a series of real quick videos because this is where I'm going tomorrow. Okay, Jared. While we're just sitting here a minute, pull up those pictures you had yesterday, Jared, of the Newark, Ohio earthworks, if you can, because that's where I'm going. Tomorrow is the first day of spring. Actually, it's tonight. Full. It's unusual because it's a full moon on the first day of spring. Winter equinox, which is really, really unusual. And again, Jared's going to show us from the sky where I'm going to be tomorrow. Let me find one for you there, Jared. He's expanding. Okay, I got a great video to show you. There it is. There it is, Jared. There you go. Okay. Now, the Newark, Ohio earthworks, you can do all the research you want to on it. Here at the bottom, what you see on the screen is the circle mound. See how the circle there? You see the full moon over. I'm sorry for those of you who are listening by radio. I'm sorry. You see the opening. See, these used to be connected. Up on the top is what they call the octagon mounds. The octagon mound 8. It has 8 different angles on it. That's now a golf course. It's a golf course. And I went there last year with L.A. Marzullo. We flew drones and everything. It's unbelievable. But it used to connect to the circle mounds. This was what it looked like. Now, tomorrow, I'm going to go to the circle mounds. That's one nearest you as you look at it on the screen. They call that the Newark, Ohio earthworks. They call it the circle mounds, okay? I'm going to go there tomorrow, and I'm going to stand. Jared, can you take your pointer, Jared? And I'm right there. That's where that's the opening that faces due east, okay? So when the sun comes up, understand this, folks, as you're looking at it right now, that little area where that pointer is, yeah, that area there is open, okay? The rest of it is about a 20-foot mound that goes around it. Go, Jared, show that pointer. Go around the rest of it. Yes, that's about 20 feet tall all the way around with an opening, and that's where I'm going to be standing talking to you tomorrow, okay? Everybody with me on that? Okay, cool. Now, I want to – oh, man. Jared, I got several real quick. Some of these are longer than others, but I'm trying to build a basis for you tomorrow that when Russ Dizdar is talking to us, we have an understanding of what he's telling us. Okay. So Jared, let's go to Wikipedia, the mound builders, Newark, Ohio mound builders. Folks, there's a great, great, great spiritual dimension to these Newark earthworks. You know what L.A. Marzullo calls Ohio? Nephilim Central. You talk to the L.A. Marzullo. He said this is the epicenter. Newark, Ohio, surrounding area, Ohio in general. Watch this. Now, remember, Wikipedia is not always true. Anybody can go in there and edit Wikipedia, okay? The Newark earthworks in Newark and Heath, Ohio, consist of 3 sections of preserved earthworks: the Great Circle, the Octagon, and the Wright earthworks. Complex built by the Hopewell culture between 100 BC and 500 BC contains the largest earthen enclosures in the world. Hang on. Russ Dizdar will tell you tomorrow there's not an Indian tribe in the world that claims them. Not the Hopewell Indians. Now, we've credited it to the Hopewell Indians, but they don't. Down below, it says this is part of the Hopewell Ceremonial Earthworks, one of 14 sites nominated in January 2008 by the U.S. Department of Interior for potential submission to the UNESCO World Heritage List. In fact, they're fighting on that even right now over the golf course. They want the golf course to not be able to be a golf course anymore because of its historical significance. And then you go on and you read the history of the Hopewell culture. It's all, that's all BS, okay? They don't know. This is all made up. History's all made up. So far, so good. You with me? Anybody turning off yet? Okay, then it goes down, tells us about the Great Circle, Earthworks. Jared, scroll on down a little bit. I'm not going to read all of it. I'm going to take you there. Stop right there. I'm going to be there tomorrow. Right there is the opening. I'm going to stand there tomorrow. Okay? Now, before we do that, Jared, let's go. I got so many things here. Oh, my goodness. Jared, let's go to Explained. It says Explained. Folks, this is about 7 minutes. We're not going to watch all of it. Please bear with me. I'm not trying to bore you. I'm sorry if you're listening and you can't see this. This is a very quick explanation of the earthworks. Go ahead. Nephite Explorer, Newark Earthwork.
Okay, I'm in Newark, Ohio.
Jared, just freeze that. Go back there again, Jared, if you can. Well, just that opening picture. Because look, folks, this you'll see this tomorrow morning. Yeah, freeze that right there, Jared. That's a moat inside the earthworks. It goes all the way around. Remember I told you the mound, which you can see over there on the left-hand side, the mound's about 30 feet high. Okay? And then this, they have the moat on the inside of the earthworks. Not on the outside. It's on the inside of the earthworks. And this is right here is the opening, which we'll see here in a minute. I just want you all to get a feeling for what's going on. And out in the middle of this circle is a flat area, and we'll go there tomorrow as well. Go ahead, Jared.
Okay, I'm in Newark, Ohio, and there are just absolutely massive earthworks here. Circles, octagons, just everything on a scale that I had no idea existed. I mean, look at this. I'm standing on this wall right now that is about 25 feet high. It's a massive ditch. It must have taken just absolutely massive amounts of man hours, manpower to build this structure.
I've come to Ohio because all the prophecies in the Book of Mormon about the promised land of Lehi
point Mormons.
To North America. That the land of Lehi is the same land that the pilgrims would later come to. But what's really exciting is here in the heartland of America, non-LDS...
It says the Great Circle in Ohio, which is part of the Newark Earthworks. The Newark Earthworks totally comprises about a 4.5 area of miles in circumference. This here is obviously the only way in, the only way out through this magnificent...
Jared, freeze that a second. That's where I'll be standing tomorrow. That opening is the area where the sun comes up. Now, if you can see the tree off there in the distance, in the middle of it, that's where the sacrifices were made. Some type of sacrifices were made there. As the sun came up in the opening, understand the opening is the womb of the woman, all right? That's what folklore is, that the sun god comes in and impregnates the woman laying in the center. Keep going, Jared.
Magnificent structure. But this was built by, as far as we know, the Hopewell people.
Yeah.
300 B.C. to 400 A.D., and it's a magnificent structure. It makes it unusual because the ditch is on the inside. And so rather than be a fortification like so many of them are, we really believe this one had definitely ceremonial or a sacred purpose. But let's take a walk up here on top of the berm so you can see how high these things are. As you can begin to see here and appreciate the depth of this place and the largeness of it is absolutely huge. This circle runs approximately 154 feet all the way across in the center for the diameter. The circle itself is almost a true circle within about a foot and a half of 18 inches of difference. Otherwise, it is very, very perfect. And again, it's just so huge. You can hardly appreciate how big it is. The only way to really see this is to take it from the air, from an airplane, and look down upon this and see the magnificence, how big this is.
If okay, Jared.
Your scale of this.
You can freeze that, Jared, because I'm not going to go any further than that. Folks, here's one of the most amazing things about these Newark earthworks. In however many years they say they've been there, there's been like zero erosion. In other words, those mounds are the same size they are now today as they were 150 years ago when they first began to measure them. Zero erosion. And the measurement across from one side to the other is 100% flat. Still flat. Now, trees have grown up in it. We think it's the Hopewell Indians, L.A. Marzullis, and others will say, no, 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 there's something else, some type of alien technology that went in to building these earthworks. I'm going to pause there a minute for some questions before I go to the next thing. Nothing? Am I boring you? I have to lay this foundation for tomorrow. Okay?
This is good.
Lord, what do you... What's that?
This is good.
I know it's good. I know it's good. It's right in my backyard. And isn't it amazing they call this the land of legend? That's the nickname of the county in which I live, the land of legend. What's a legend? Yeah, something you want to tell you whether it's true or whether it's not. Now, Jared, let's click on the one. It says explained seven, the one that says explained. Okay, click on that one real quickly, brother. All right, guys, I hate to keep giving you videos, but the video can tell better. That's the one I'm sorry. Let's go to the one that says in 10 minutes, Newark vids. Now, okay, now, folks, one of the things, okay, yeah, this is good. This is good. One of the things that they want us to believe that these are simply made maybe 500 years ago. They're actually prehistoric. One of the things we're going to find out here in a second, that they've done some excavation, and you're not going to believe what they found inside the mounds. But here's this guy here just gives us an explanation of the mounds. Go ahead. 2 minutes.
Not just high math, but these sites are lined up primarily with the lunar calendar. They had high math. They understood geometry. And because of the lunar calendar, they also
So again, folks, as you look at that, the bottom is the circle mounds. That's where I'm going to be standing tomorrow, the circle mounds. And it's connected to the octagon mound, which is where the golf course is today, right? But now there are houses and roads and everything between the circle mounds and the octagon mounds. You have to drive, I don't know, it's maybe a mile. So in other words, that little connector that you see there, that's probably a mile, probably at least a mile distance between those two things. And when I grew up, the golf course was just Mound Builders Country Club. But I got to go out there last spring with LA and they did the drones and oh my goodness, the preciseness of how those mounds are created is unbelievable. So tomorrow we're going to be in the circle. Go ahead, Jared.
Understood the heavens, astronomy.
Yeah, stop you a second, Jared. Folks, remember, these things, I don't care when they were built. I don't care when they were doing. Randy's somewhat of a builder. Dale's a builder. This thing is constructed perfectly in dimensions. Perfectly constructed in dimensions back in when? 700 years ago? 2,000 years ago? We don't know where. But they are perfectly constructed, perfectly aligned, perfect angles. They didn't have computers. They didn't have protractors. They didn't have compasses. How did they do this? Go ahead, Jared.
What I've learned now is just how amazing they were in terms of their knowledge of the solar system and of mathematics.
And the lunar calendar comes from the Mediterranean. And then they had the unit of measurement was 606, which they call the stade. One side of the Great Pyramid from the base to the tip of the apex is 606 feet. If you square inside the octagon, which the surveyors like to call, it's a term they use, squaring the circle, and you divide that up into four equal parts inside of cubes, you'll find those cubes are all made of 606 foot lines on the outside. The angle of the Great Pyramid of Egypt runs 51.8 degrees up the slope from the base to the angle. That measurement is there, and when you come off of the baseline at Newark and you run true north and then measure that angle back to the baseline, what do we find? 51.8 degrees. So did they have the same math as the ancient Egyptians? Well, I gotta say, yeah,
It sure looks like it.
It's as inspiring, I think, in its way as the NASA program to send a man to the moon.
Most of the Mediterranean societies, civilizations, ran their calendar on the lunar cycle, or 13-month calendar. And that can be fully demonstrated with the Hopewell people as well. Again, another nice parallel to the Mediterranean contact.
We own the Newark Holy Stones, and these stones were found in a Hopewell mound in the 1860s. And the presumption from finding them was that perhaps the American Indians had some kind of contact with the Hebrews, or possibly they were the Hebrews. That's another idea. So we have the museum has been interested in origins.
They took it to some scholars, identified that it was probably some type of Hebrew. They took it to some rabbis living in the area, and upon looking at it, they said yes, they could read it. And it was a complete rendition of the Ten Commandments. They called it block Hebrew because they had never seen anything written like this, but they called it block Hebrew.
Yep. So listen, this, I'm going to show you more on that. This copy of the Hebrew Ten Commandments was found in the mound, okay? In the circle mound. They dug it out of the circle mound, block Hebrew. Now, wait a minute. When did Columbus discover America? 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue, yet this thing was found in Hebrew, buried in the mound. So I was sitting in my, TV about 10 years ago. I wasn't sitting in my TV. I was sitting in my living room and I was watching Glenn Beck. You guys remember Glenn Beck? When he used to be on Fox News? We all remember that. You know, got up there with the chalkboards and all that kind of stuff. I'm sitting in my living room watching the Fox News, Glenn Beck Fox News show. It's about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I think it was on. And if you remember back there, Glenn was getting into, he was getting into a lot of that conspiracy theory stuff, which by the way, they cut him off. They cut Glenn Beck off. He went a different direction. But I'm sitting in my living room and I see this. Go ahead, Jared.
In 1860, David Weyrich, he's a guy who surveyed the Newark earthworks. He was digging into a mound near those earthworks, and he found a wooden coffin made of oak. They opened up the coffin and found a skeleton of a man holding a little box. It was about 8.10 inches in size. The box had been cemented shut here. This, by the way, is sitting in Ohio. Well, he opened up the box, and he found a little man inside, a little black stone. They took it to scholars, and they looked at it. The man seems to be carrying something, and there's writing here at first they couldn't recognize. The writing is, they thought in 1860, some sort of Hebrew. Well, finally, about 20 years later, they found some rabbis living in the area, and the rabbis looked at that, and they could read it. They said it was an old, old kind of block Hebrew, and it was a rendition of the Ten Commandments. Now, this is another piece. Block Hebrew, they said they'd never seen anything like it. Mainstream archaeologists at the time called this a hoax. But then in 1900, or just about after 1900, in Israel, they found the same block-style Hebrew writing. Mainstream archaeologists still dismissed the findings. They found it in Israel, and they found it in Ohio. But there was another stone that they found that they couldn't argue. This is the Bat Creek Stone. It was found during the course of an official Smithsonian evacuation. The Smithsonian didn't understand the meaning of the writing on the stone. They thought it was Cherokee, since it came from Cherokee country. They didn't realize that it's actually Hebrew. They had published this originally upside down. They threw it in a box at the bottom of the Smithsonian, put it in the basement. Many years later, a scholar took it out of the box, looked at it, and went, oh my gosh, it's upside down. It's Phoenician, ancient Hebrew. So what's going on here? What is that about? Where is that history?
Brought here by Hebrew people in search of a new promised land. I want to know if this stone, inscribed with the Ten Commandments, might have been kept inside the ark, or was it left behind as a clue that one of the Bible's most sacred artifacts is right here in the United States?
Hang on there, Jared.
Close that. Decalogue.
Folks, don't miss what he just said. Was this little copy of the Ten Commandments taken on the boat, on the ark? Go ahead, Jared.
Logstone with the Ten Commandments written on it, on all sides of it. And this is a stone box that the Decalogue was found in.
Okay.
So when it was found, it was enclosed in this box, and you couldn't even see the stone inside. The box is carved out inside exactly to fit the Decalogue stone.
Well, who's that guy?
Well, this figure here on the front that's wearing a robe and a turban and holding either tablets or a breastplate, and over his head in these Hebrew letters, it says Moshe or Moses.
Oh.
So that's must be Moses.
Okay, that's Moses. All right.
Who delivered the Ten Commandments.
Okay. It seems to pass the scrutiny of the skeptics as far as the Hebrew text in the language. So now I'd like to try to add some evidence to this whole discussion. You can cut that off. Okay, so folks, I'm trying to lay a foundation today that when I go there tomorrow, that you have some bit of the backstory of, see, L.A. Marzulli, who's given his, you know, spending his life researching these things, calling this Nephilim Central, says that these things were built from up, whoever built these mounds had to be up high. You had to be above it. The only way that you could see it, it's like the same thing. Remember I told you about when I was coaching football and I'd be on the sidelines and I couldn't see what was going on because it was flat? That's why I had a guy up in the press box up high, because up high and look down, you can see. Something like that had to happen. L.A. would call it Nephilim technology, whatever that means. Russ will be able to explain that a little bit better to us today. But there's no other explanation as to why. Can I show you one more video, then I'm going to open it up. This will be just really, really quick. And Jared, just take the sound off of this one. So folks, this is a, it says Ohio Mounds, Jared. These things are all over Ohio. Hang on, freeze that, Jared. And I'm going to try to read it to people who are listening. It says the Nephilim ruins, 32 largest burial mounds in Ohio. They're everywhere here in Ohio. I could take you and show you one right down the road here. But these are pictures of the 32 largest. In fact, Jared, maybe you could speed this up so we can get through this thing quicker. Maybe you can you don't have to do it. Good. Just go ahead and let it play. And see, wow. Massive earthen mounds were constructed to venerate and worship the dead. Burial mounds represented the impregnated nave of the Earth Mother, giving new life to the souls within. When I show up tomorrow at the Newark Earthworks in that opening, that is a high holy day, because that was the day that the sun god impregnated the woman in the mounds, okay? Go ahead, Jared. So here's a picture of some of the mounds. They came to burial mounds to worship their ancestors whose spirits were earthbound. Panorama doors that remain open today. Here's one in Adams County, Ohio. These things are everywhere. Here's one that's down in Athens, Ohio. We just drive by them every day. We say, oh, God, that's an odd place for a big hump. Here's one in Brown County down there by you, John Rockoff. There's one, another one in Brown County, Nephilim Central. There's one other one in Butler County down by Dayton, Ohio. These mounds are everywhere in Ohio. Massive burial mounds, they call them. There's one that's in, this is, doesn't say where this one is. Doesn't matter where it is. Coshocton, Ohio. Jeff Klein, you better be careful out there. There's one in Coshocton, Ohio. They cut a road right through it. There's one that's in Columbus, Ohio, south side of Columbus, Ohio. These mounds, Nephilim Central, are everywhere. Square Earthworks in Worthington, Ohio, which is north of Columbus. I got one coming up in my hometown here in a minute. There's another one. Site restricted. They don't give you the address. There's one. There's one, the Serpentine Earthworks in Greene County, Ohio. There's another one. There's a large one. They don't tell us where it is. These things are everywhere. Nephilim Central, LA would say. There's the earthworks that we're going to be there tomorrow. Here's one that doesn't say where. Gateway, South Gateway of the Mound. These are different places in Ohio. Skeleton was found in this one in Licking County, Ohio. They found a large skeleton in this one. This one, stop, Jared. This one is, that's my neighborhood. That is my neighborhood. Okay, Jared, you can stop. Just trust me. There are a bunch of these. Okay, let me open the door. Come on in here. I tried to explain what you're going to see tomorrow. Tell me I'm crazy me or tell me you love me. Somebody.
We love you, Coach, and you're crazy.
Thank you, man.
Coach, you know, I grew up all around here, and I'm a historian, and I will tell you from the start, they don't know what these things are. They don't know where they came from. Their knowledge of the Indians that preceded the Woodland Indians is zip, okay? They've got two cultures that they identify primarily because of the difference in the stones that they use, stonework that they used, the Adena, the Hopewell. Literally, mm-hmm. You get a paragraph. You can't buy a book, and if you do, it's got a paragraph of information in it. They know nothing.
They don't. Hey, Lowell, talk about conspiracy theories. They're the ones with the conspiracy theories. They don't have any idea.
Yeah, now, they try and fit it into the narrative that they already created.
That's okay. Right.
But
that's
here right. We are living in the midst, in the ruins of a civilization that stretched from New York, clear down all of the river valleys, feeding into the Ohio, down the Mississippi, to the New Orleans, and they know virtually nothing about it.
Jared, can you pull it out? Jared, see if you can pull up foothills of the Appalachian Mountains. I don't know if that's possible. That mound that you were just looking at, folks, I live right where I live here in Licking County, Ohio. It is, if you walk out my door and you go 200 yards, Ohio is flat. If you go south of me or east of me, it's hilly. And I live right at the foothill, the first foothill of the Appalachian Mountains. So for whatever reason, I don't know what it would be, they got out of the mountains, something has to do with the mountains, and they began to build these structures there. As Lowell said, they go ever. Jared's trying to find it. You really can't get a feel for it. Unless you understand the topography of Ohio, you don't understand. From my house on east, it's mountains. Up through Pennsylvania, West Virginia, it's everywhere. Then there's from my house on to the west, it's flat, okay? So there's a significance to me, Lowell, about why this all took place right here. And you go down through Adams County. Stay right there, Jared. Stay right there. I'm sorry. All down through Adams County. See, right there, that's on the first foothill of the Appalachian Mountains. That mound is just, it's a mile from my house. Okay, somebody else, come on in.
Hey, Coach, everything that you've discussed in Genesis and in Enoch, it's all backed up in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, Jude 1 and 6, and in Revelation chapter 9, that's all those angels that fell in Revelation 9. They're going to be released for a season during the time of judgment, brother. They're bound right now in the heart of the earth. They're going to be released, Coach.
Again. So you know what L.A. Marzulli did with me? He took me to that, and I'll take you there tomorrow. And you see how vast that circle is. And he says, Coach, they want us to believe that these mounds were built with knives and sacks, that people brought all this dirt in. How long would it, if you were to go get earth movers and try to build these mounds, how long would it take you to build all those mounds? And he says, that's why it was, bear with me, supernatural technology. Supernatural technology. They created all these.
No doubt about it, Dave. There's no doubt about it. I know dirt. I know this. I've been in this my whole life. I have technology. There's no way that Indians tribes that we know last 500 years could even touch building that.
Impossible.
Impossible. It's impossible.
Coach, and here's just a spitball of a theory. When I look at that and you say, like you said, it's a moat, it goes into the ground. You know, when you look at it from a from an up view, it almost looks like a keyhole.
Mm.
Like a porthole, like a door, like a lock. Does that make sense?
Yeah, Dale, and here's the thing. See, when you're there, which you guys will see tomorrow because we're going to be there. Please, Lord, don't let it rain. We're going to be there tomorrow. And what you're going to see, it's the same thing, Dale. When you stand flat and look at it, you don't get it. You don't get it. You know, you just don't get it. It's like you go into the Ohio Stadium football field and you're sitting down there and, boy, say, this is beautiful. But when they fly the blimp over the top of it and they look down, then you get an idea. Oh, wow. The horseshoe. Now I get it. Well, that's the same thing here. And because, you know, it's amazing that you would think right here in the heart of this whole thing that we would be digging and diving, trying to find out what happened here. And there's no interest about it at all. Now, we have other mounds south. We have the Serpent Mound. Jared, pull that up. Remember, L.A. says Nephilim Central. The Serpent Mound is down south of Ohio, and it's a mound that is built as a snake. The same group of mound builders built. There it is, Jared. Now, folks, oh, my goodness. I know you can't see this. I wish I could. If you look at the right-hand side of the screen, Jared, take your pointer and put it up right there. Right there, Jared. Reduce it a little bit, bud, if you can. Okay, put it right there, Jared. There, folks, if that is you, it's hard for you to see. Right there, Jared. Good. That's the mouth of a snake. Do you see the snake? You see this mouth there where the snake is? Jared, and you see the body, trace the body down there so people can see him. Yeah, see? All right, we see that serpent, right? Okay, cool. And down in his tail's curled. Now, Jared, come back up at the top. See if we can if I can reduce it. Oh, this is unbelievable. What you have here is, folks, the mouth of the serpent swallowing an egg. Huh? What? Hopewell Indians did that, right? Hopewell Indians did that. And again, this mound, which is, it's about 2 hours, 2.5 hours from me, is here in Ohio. Serpent mounds. There's another picture of it. See the mouth eating the egg? Shouldn't Christians be able to give an answer why this is here? What's going on here? Man, 7 minutes left. Somebody come on in. Hey, by the way, if you would like to come with me tomorrow, if you're within the area and you'd like to come with me tomorrow, just email me and say, Coach, I want to go with you. I'd like a little protection, to be honest with you. Who knows who's watching this right now? Say, hey, Coach, he's gonna be out there. He'll be out there tomorrow. Yeah.
So just kind of, I was thinking about it, like, this stuff was made however many hundreds or thousands of years ago. There is no reason to build something that's artistic that you can't see like this, right?
Right.
I mean, they can't see it until planes existed. You would never be able to see this, ever, until 100 years ago, ever. Why would you build this?
You're right, Jared, because people who walk flatly on it, you just see it in its mounds. You didn't ever say, hey, you know, that's shaped like a snake. Hey, Ethel, I think that's shaped like a snake. No, you wouldn't do that because you couldn't see it, right? But when you get above it and you look down and say, holy smoke, are you kidding me? So this is part of the mound, as Lowell said, all throughout eastern Ohio, all the way actually west, clear out through Missouri. Part of this mound structure that we really don't have. We don't even, not only don't we have an explanation for it, we don't have any curiosity.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
What's your opinion about the Ten Commandments being in that one mound?
It's a great question, isn't it? Well, Serge, the Ten Commandments, those Ten Commandments are still in a museum in Coshocton, Ohio, about 30 miles from here. They still have them. Those very ones are in there. Now, Serge, come on, man. How could those Ten Commandments be buried inside those mounds. And could it have been, as one of the guys said there, it was originally possessed on the ark? I don't know. I know this. It ain't the Hopewell Indians.
Well, you can speculate a couple of things. It'll be very quick. First, the amount of accumulated wealth that this culture had to do all of this was tremendous.
Wow, never thought
of
that.
You can only do this when you got a full belly. And you can only do this when you've got tens of thousands of men with full bellies that aren't working every day to feed themselves. Okay. This was a trading culture, because they find seashells from the coast of Mexico up in New York. They find things from New York, the types of stones that are up there and in Minnesota down along the coast. I mean, this culture ran along all of these rivers. They used them just like we do. They used them as channels of trade. Okay. And the conjecture is the Phoenicians, which were the naval force, they were the merchants for Israel when Solomon was building his temple. Okay. The conjecture is, in order to find all of the tin, all of the arsenic, all of the woods and stuff like that, they were stripping the Mediterranean cycle. They went to England. We know that there are tin and copper mines in England that fed into Israel. That this was just one more step, that they came over here looking for the raw materials to build their empire back in the Mediterranean.
Mm.
Coach, when Joshua came into the promised land to push them all out, they ran out of there. They knew, when they saw God killing all these giants right before them, those Phoenicians were the greatest shipbuilders in the world even then. They left their mark from there all the way through the Mediterranean. Everywhere they stopped, they left a mark. And going out of the Mediterranean, I think it's right at the Straits of Gibraltar, there's a big monument that it reads, Joshua, they're running from this guy called Joshua the Robber. So there's your thread, part of your thread. Mm. When they were running out of there to preserve their way, I think it was when Joshua went into the promised land and God started conquering a lot of those giants. That's the trail.
Okay, so thanks, Randy. I'm winding down here. So L.A. and guys, nutty guys like him would say that for whatever reason, these people, whoever did this, had knowledge beyond the day. They had supernatural knowledge and technology to be able to create these structures. As Lowell said, this wasn't just some Indians got out there and said, hey, let's build. And see, it's all tied to the star. That's why tomorrow, March 21st, the spring equinox is a high holy day for them. And as I'm out there tomorrow, Russ is going to be with us, and he's going to explain what they claim took place there. And the opening, when the sun comes up in the opening of that circle mound and goes out into the middle of the mound where there's another mound shaped in the form of a woman, the sun comes up, and it was at that holy night before, unholy night before, that human sacrifices were made there. Who knows what was going on? They say the moat on the inside of it was lit up in a fire and it burnt. Speculation, of course. But the height of those mounds has not diminished, not one centimeter. Over the years, trees have grown into them. But what in the heck happened there that soil would not only just be like a mound, but almost impenetrable? Going to be an exciting day for me. Cover me in prayer. And I'm going to see you in the morning before the sun even shines at the Newark, Ohio Earthworks on the first day of spring. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.